This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Hamdan yaliku bi jalali wajhihi wa bi azim sultanih. Wa sallallahu ala khairi khalqihi Muhammadin as-sadiq al-amin al-mab'uth rahmatan lil alamin. وعلى آله الطيبين والطاهرين وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم اكتبنا منهم آمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم افتح مسامي قلوبنا لذكرك. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we send the best of salah and salam on our beloved noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in useful knowledge, knowledge that makes us closer to him. Give us the tawfiq to act on that knowledge amalan, and to open our hearts to receive the true meanings of his kalam, his words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make what is said today a means of success for us and our children in this dunya and hereafter. Inshallah, we are going to continue Surah Luqman, which we started last week, and we have now come to ayah number 12, and we are going to, inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us, study from 12 to 19, which is the advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son. We briefly mentioned that Luqman alayhi salam was not a messenger or a prophet, but he was a man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certified as being hakim, having hikmah and wisdom. And we'll talk about that briefly. And that he was of African descent, probably in the area of Sudan, what was called Nubia. He was Nubian, between Ethiopia and Egypt in that area. And he was a slave, but he was given wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named a whole chapter, a whole surah in the Quran after him, and has permanently recorded his conversation with his son, like we have with our children, in the Quran. So inshallah, we'll start with ayah number 12. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. First, this one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed very special blessing on Luqman alayhi salam called hikmah. So the rough translation of this is, and indeed, we bestowed wisdom on Luqman and commanded him, be grateful to Allah, for he who is grateful is only grateful for his own benefit. As for the one who is ungrateful, then know that Allah is self-sufficient, ever praised. So firstly, we have to know that wisdom, if we are wise in some way, it is not something that we should be proud about, because it's not something that we earned or learned. This is bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a blessing like everything else, like intelligence and inner beauty and outer, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the one who he calls Hakim to be grateful, to be in shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This gratitude, shukr concept is going to come over and over again. We are an ummah of shukr. We should always be in shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said before, last time, that the word hikmah has been used almost 20 different times in different ways in the Quran to convey wisdom, knowledge, reasoning, forbearance, hilm, patience, sabr. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ has been called hikmah. and so on and so forth. So in brief, hikmah is to know knowledge, and the intellect to understand and apply that knowledge correctly by acting in a manner that leads to the greatest benefit for all concerned. So it maximizes goodness in every situation for everyone while acting within the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no wisdom that violates the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who is wise takes into consideration all the consequences of an action, what the pros are, what the cons are, what's going to happen. And simply speaking, hikmah is to know what to say, when to say, where to say, how much to say, and how to say it. Okay? So what is it? What to say, when to say it, where, in what situation to say it, how much to say, and how to say it. That is wisdom. And the ultimate hikmah is to know the creator and the creation and to give each one its right in the proper way, in the correct proportion, putting everything in its proper place. And the peak of hikmah is to know and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be grateful to Him. Therefore, in brief, Alhamdulillah is the height of wisdom. And one of the wisest people mentioned in the Quran is our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about Ibrahim alayhi salam? Shakiran li an'umihi ijtabahu wa hadahu ila siratin mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Ibrahim shakiran was utterly grateful for Allah's blessings. So Allah chose him and guided him to the right path. And hikmah indeed is, wisdom is indeed a great blessing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Which means Allah gives hikmah to who He wants, as He wants. And whoever has been given hikmah has been indeed granted abundance of good. He's been blessed with a great privilege. But none realize this except people who have understanding. So where do we seek wisdom and hikmah? There is an abundance of hikmah in our treasure trove of the Quran and the Sunnah and the words of our sages, our wise people, such as Luqman alayhi salam. Luqman alayhi salam's teaching us how to go about life in a meaningful way that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by giving these instructions to his son. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the gift of wisdom and understanding based on the revealed scriptures that were available to him at that time. Okay? Because you will listen to the teaching of Salah and Tawheed and, you know, Sabr and Nahiyan al-Munkar, Amr bil-Maruf, all of that. So in light of his wisdom of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of his life, he gives this advice. And it is manifested in his shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recognizes who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He acknowledges the sifat, the attributes of Allah and his favors, and shows gratitude by using these favors in the right way. One of his favors was wisdom. So he uses his wisdom to convey a message to his children and to all of mankind. So imagine, as we said, this is a man who was a slave in the dunya. And yet he is showing his gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even in that state. Because he realizes what we say frequently, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. We belong to Allah. So he knows even though Allah has given control of my life in the dunya in some man's hand, I belong to Allah. He is my master. And indeed to Him we will return. So the first lesson for us is gratitude. Shukr. That's the first lesson that we all have to learn. We cannot be complainers. Don't complain about things, anything. So 95 degrees today, it'll be 100 degrees tomorrow. Alhamdulillah. Allah is telling us it's only 100 degrees. Do you know what the temperature in hellfire is? Say, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the recipe to stay away from that heat. Alhamdulillah. And it will also end. Rain will come one day. So be in a state of gratitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever shows gratitude does it for their own benefit, because our gratitude does not help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. Allah is in no need of His ibad, of His servants. If we all worshipped Him and obeyed Him and showed gratitude, it's not going to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any greater. And if all of mankind became kafir, ungrateful, it does not diminish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, He is al-ghani. Al-ghani means one who is free of all needs, free of all things, all people. He is above any needs. He is independent, and only Allah is al-ghani. And He is al-hamid. He is the one who is praised in and by Himself. In other words, if nobody praises Him, He is still al-hamid. That sifat of His does not change. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you praise Me and you show gratitude to Me, it's for your benefit, because you will get the reward of it. So again, reminder that we all need to be always grateful for what we have, for the things we have, the opportunities we have, the relationships we have, the conditions that come our way, material, spiritual, metaphysical. And also we need to be grateful for what Allah has protected us from. We don't know what kinds of, you know, just yesterday two people were crossing the road in East Hampton and they were killed by a car. How much protection, how much Allah protects us that we don't know we've been protected from. Some of us have experienced Wallahi al-Azim, where there was nothing, Allah's intervention came and you experienced it, you identified it, you knew. So we should always be thankful. And how do we show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we show thankfulness? By acknowledging His favors in everything that we possess, everything that we achieve, every talent that we have, every success we celebrate, every meaningful relationship that we are in, whether it's with our parents, with our children, with our friends, with our spouses or siblings, everything is from Allah. We show gratitude by thanking Him, by being just in all of these relationships, by using everything that Allah gives us in a way that He intended for us to use it, and that which pleases Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if we are grateful, what will happen? He says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Indeed, Allah has announced, He has proclaimed that if you are grateful, you show thankfulness to Allah, He will increase you in His blessings. And the opposite, وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And if you are ungrateful, you deny His favor, just remember that Allah's punishment is indeed severe. Now, part of our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to show gratitude to people, such as our host today, such as the people who are attending, and so on and so forth. Since the people are the means that Allah uses to deliver His blessings to us, like our parents, like our friends, like our teachers. Okay. So the way this is structured, it is not exclusive gratitude to Allah, means thank Allah and whatever else, whoever else needs to be thanked. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, he says, لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس. That the one who does not thank people has not truly thanked Allah. Because Allah creates all of these means. Now, the advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son, in his gratitude, and part of the gratitude of Luqman alayhi salam is to convey to his son as his inheritance this wisdom. of what he needs to do. And so this advice is timeless, and this is something that we all need to study over and over again. My session is a little long, but it's still very brief compared to what this deserves. And just imagine, this advice of a slave to his son is read by millions of people every single day in the world, and will continue to be read till the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. Look at the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the real master, bestowed on his slave. It's just seven brief verses. Now, this is the nature of the wisdom, this is the nature of the Quran. In a few words, there are oceans of you know, to learn of information, not just information, of true knowledge. And it has been immortalized in this wise advice of Luqman alayhi salam. There are 10 major components of this advice, and from each of those, there are many branches that you can take, and it becomes much more elaborate if you go into that. And just remember that this advice was given, you know, a few thousand years ago, and it is still applicable and can be followed today and till the day of judgment for any parent wanting to raise a child in the light of Islam. And if all the parents implemented Luqman alayhi salam's advice, then they would be leaving behind a beautiful legacy in their children. And this is the best gift that a parent can give their child. And there is no need to worry about the fate of this child in the hereafter, because through this advice, they have been shown the path to paradise. Now, this is general advice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just said that Luqman gave this advice. But he specifies, without naming him, that he gave this advice to his son. What does that teach us?
Its importance.
The parental responsibility. That there is a responsibility. The children have rights, and there is a responsibility of the parents to teach the children. And this is to remind us of the duties as parents, so that we may not be negligent in this great responsibility. And how many of us are guilty of this negligence? Because we choose frequently, myself included, probably the worst, instead to focus on providing material things, toys, play, entertainment. This is what we spend. My child should have this. Does he have the latest phone? Does he have this? Where does he, what sport he's playing, where I'm taking him, what he's, but we ignore a lot of this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and guide us to the right way. Ayah number 13. Here is where the words of Luqman starts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيِّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Which means, and remember, when, just think of what that means. Luqman said to his son while he was advising him, okay, يَعِذُهُ, to give wa'ad. And he addressed him by saying, Ya Bunay, which is a term of endearment, meaning, oh my dear son, the first piece of advice, join not in worship other than Allah. Because verily, joining others in worship with Allah is a great dhulm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, by starting it in this way, is again drawing a verbal picture of us. Now imagine a father and a son, a man and a child of a certain age, perhaps walking together, perhaps walking on the beach, perhaps walking somewhere, or just sitting together privately. Now imagine this bonding, parent, son and child, spending time with him. When that child, he says, when that child means has become old enough to understand, Allah, Luqman alayhi salam, gives him an age-appropriate advice. Okay, something that he would understand. So he's educating him, and he's counseling him, he's advising him by his own words and his own actions. Luqman alayhi salam is setting an example. So he addresses his son, as we said, Ya Bunayi. Ya Bunayi is a very special term in Arabic of extreme endearment. He doesn't call him Ya Hashim, Ya Muhammad, whatever his name was. He doesn't say, Ya Ibni, oh my son. Ya Bunayi is a special term of endearment, which literally means my dear, tender little son, the one who has to be taken care of, who needs my protective instincts. And this is to make him feel even closer to him, to stress that familial bond between the father and the child, and the closeness to him. And by this address, he gains the attention of that child. Oh, my father, you know, it's like he puts his arms around me and he's telling me this, showing his love and concern, that what he is going to tell him is going to be for my benefit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has recorded father and son conversations elsewhere. For example, conversation between Yaqub alayhi salam and his sons. Specific conversation between Yaqub alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam. And what does Yaqub alayhi salam address Yusuf alayhi salam? He says, Qala ya bunay, la taqsus ru'yaka. O my beloved son. Same, ya bunay. Don't tell this story to your brothers, what you saw in your dream. Similarly, we have the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the words, and Ismail alayhi salam, a father and son conversation. What is the conversation? Qala ya bunay, inni ara fil manami anni adbahuka fandhur madha tara. Oh my beloved son, I saw in my dream that I'm sacrificing you. Imagine, first telling him ya bunay and telling him this. And then what does he say? Fandhur ma tara. So tell me, what do you think? He's not imposing it, but just, so I just wanted to say that these conversations that Allah has recorded, just imagine what is being recorded of our conversations that we have had with our children. What tones we have used, what words we have used, what we have stressed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So again, this when also implies that Luqman alayhi salam chooses the right time, the right moment, the right opportunity, when he has his attention to deliver the advice, and not at a time where it might be ignored or rejected. It's a child, and we deal with that. Sometimes you have a child, you want to tell them something, and he is busy with something else. He's not in the mood to listen. In fact, he might ignore you, or he might even say no. So what is hikmah? Don't present that advice at that time. Postpone it for a better opportune moment, because it will be recorded. Do you want the angels to record for your son that he says, no, I'm not going to do this, I don't care? Do you want that recorded for your child? Therefore, have rahmah on the children. When you see they are not in that moment where they would be very receptive to something like this, don't say it. Okay? There is khair in that. Then, as we said, he directs his son to that which is most important. He says, do not, la tushrik billah, don't commit shirk with Allah. Meaning, never associate anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dhat, in his essence, in his attributes, his sifat, in his actions. Allah is alone. So he is, the first lesson is the lesson of tawheed, of who is Allah and who is to be worshipped alone. Tawheed first and foremost, and that's a lesson for us. That's the most important thing that we teach, the most foundational belief. Because without this bedrock, there is no deen, there is no akhlaq, there's nothing. There is no success. So the first thing that Luqman alayhi salam wants his son to know is to know Allah above everything else. And shirk, for our youngsters and for reminding ourselves, is it includes the belief that there are other beings that have part in divinity, like some other faiths believe, or there are partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And shirk is the ultimate peak of injustice, of dhulm, because it, by shirk, it negates the faith, iman of Islam, of Islam, of Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it shirk la dhulmun azim. Indeed, it's the ultimate of dhulm. Dhulm means injustice. Azim, the worst of all acts of oppression, the greatest injustice, that Allah, the one who created you, who sustains the entire universe and everything within it, this person does wrong by denying or putting partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, he exposes himself or herself to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his anger. And if you look, shukr, gratitude, and shirk have the same three alphabets, just the order changes. You change the order from shukr, you can go into shirk. So they are actually opposite of each other. Okay? This is the beauty of this language. So, these days, we have to be careful. We consider shirk as, oh, I don't worship idols, I don't do this, I don't have a golden calf that I'm worshipping. But there are other forms of shirk, which is called the hidden shirk, or shirk khafi, or saghir. Nothing is saghir about it, but it's hidden. What does shirk, what is that? And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith. He said, I'm not concerned for my ummah that they will be worshipping idols, they'll be doing major shirk. I'm concerned about the khafi shirk. What is this? So they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? He said, he gave an example. He said, a person who is doing a salah, is worshipping Allah. Then he becomes aware that there is someone else who comes in there, and the quality of his salah improves. He starts reciting beautifully, better khushu, and his sujood improves, his ruku improves, and it looks like, oh, what a pious person. And the salah quality changed by the presence. He said, this is khafi shirk. Because in the act of ibadah, it changed because of the presence of someone other than Allah, because Allah was always in front of him. So he gave us this example. So we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tayyib. He is pure and he accepts only that which is pure. Any little shirk in it, it becomes a sin instead of a good deed. So when this command comes, la tushrik billah, don't commit shirk, it includes all forms of hidden shirk. The failure even to acknowledge in our hearts or by our words that everything, the doer, the enabler, is of everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we start appreciating ourselves, our achievement. Look at the three-pointer I threw from half court, right? Simple thing. I. What is the statistical probability of it going in if it went in? Okay. I landed this job. I got this. And I was, you know, summa cum laude in my class, and whatever it is. Similarly, having concerns about provision. I lost my job. Where am I going to eat from? That's a form of hidden shirk. Because you have just denied that Razzaq is Allah. You thought your job. Well, my husband lost his job. Now what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. Risk will come from some other means. Maybe he'll get another job. Maybe he will not get a job. You will still eat. So we have to know that there are other forms of shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this la dhulmun adhim. Dhulm means injustice. And the Prophet ﷺ said, dhulm in this dunya will lead to dhulumat, which means dark, multiple darknesses in the hereafter. Next two ayats, ayats 14 and 15, we will take together. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير. First, the 15th ayah, وإن جاهدك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفة واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have commanded people to honor their parents. Listen carefully, don't fall asleep on me now, children. We have commanded people to honor their parents. Then he says, their mothers bore them through weakness and hardship upon hardship, and their weaning takes 2 years. So be grateful to me, Allah, and your parents. Allah has joined the parents with him. And then he says, to me is your final return. That's like a warning. That means you will be asked about how you treated your parents. And the second ayah, and we'll break it down a little bit. But if they strive, your parents, and pressure you to associate with me, in other words, to commit shirk, what you have no knowledge of, then do not obey them. But still, listen to this, still keep their company in this world with courtesy and honor. But follow the way of those who turn to me in devotion. Then to me you will all return, and then I will inform you of what you used to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself here, he supplements the advice of Luqman alayhi salam by highlighting the status of the parents. The father is giving this advice. What is a father in general terms? Okay. So, because somebody might say, well, this is all the advice to the child. This is a child's rights. What about parental rights? What are our rights? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself puts the parental rights here by mentioning in the same ayah the parental rights of honoring them, respecting them, and being grateful to your parents, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And by joining them makes it the most important aspect of Islam, which is worshipping Allah alone. Then he highlights the extreme importance in Islam of kindness, honor, respect, and gratitude to the parents. In the same verse, and last time we mentioned this briefly, one of our great commentators, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, from whom all the Hanafi madhab comes, said that Allah has paired certain things in the Quran, as we said last time. Salah and Zakat are paired, they come together. Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul, obey Allah, obey the Messenger. And he said, worshipping Allah and being good to your parents have been paired, because it comes in more than one place. And we can add, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has paired Iman with Amal Salih also. Now, there are fathers here who might say, I'm a parent. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only mentions the mothers? He doesn't mention the father here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the sacrifices and difficulties of the mother only, because they go through difficulties and suffering in carrying the child, delivering the child, and nursing the child during the most vulnerable state of helplessness for 2 more years. So, and this greater contribution, the mother is doing much more. Okay, the father has nothing to do, first 9 months, nothing to do with it. After that, he might even help a little bit in changing diapers, but that's it. Okay? So this greater contribution of the mother occurs at a time and a stage where our cognition and our memory have not fully developed. So we don't remember all of the sacrifices that the mother did. And therefore, many of us don't recognize and acknowledge these favors. However, the father's favors and contributions are easier to recognize and remember, because they come when we have developed some memory and some recognition. Oh, my father gave me this, my father bought me a bicycle, my father took me fishing, you know, so on and so forth, and whatever it is. Therefore, it is easier to remember those. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this powerful way, reminds us all of the mother's favors, lest we forget. And that's why, if you remember, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when somebody asked him, who has the greatest right on you? He said, ummuka wa ummuka. Three times, ummuka wa abi. Three times the mother. Okay. So, as they say in today's lingo, mothers get top billing. Okay, for good reason. Right? And of course, there are ahadith to the effect that paradise lies below, you know, under the feet of your mothers. In other words, if you, the way you serve them, you can achieve paradise through them. Just remember, especially in the moments when you're upset with your parents, they're not letting me do what I want, they won't get me what I want, and so on and so forth, that if it was not for our parents, their sacrifices, their forbearance, we would not have been born in this world. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them to be the means of our coming into this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose our parents for us. It is through our parents that we are fed, that we are protected, that we are loved, that we are nurtured, that we are educated, that we are clothed, and most importantly, connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the time of infancy till we become mature. And therefore Allah demands, He commands, gratitude and respect for the parents from the children. Of course, we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, the sole original reason for our existence. So our first allegiance is to Him alone. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Washkur li," thank me, "walivalidayka," and your parents, your two parents, in the same ayah. Thank me and thank your parents. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned and defended parental rights by Himself. And then He reminds us that we will return to Him and Allah will ask us about our treatment of our parents. And how does the honoring of the parents start? Just at a basic level is how we address, how we respond to our parents. And that includes body language. The parent says something, that's what I say. What are you doing? I didn't say anything. Yes, you said a lot. You said a lot by your expression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran that even if your parents become unreasonable in their old age, dementia, don't even say what? Oof. If you can't say that, oof means just impatience. And everything beyond that is also forbidden. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we have to be careful with our tongues, our body language, especially in a moment when we are upset. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ridha Rabbi fi ridha al-walid, wa sakhatu Rabbi fi sakhati al-walid," which means the pleasure of the Lord is in the pleasure of the parents, and the displeasure of the Lord is in the displeasure of the parents. Every time you displease your parents, you displease Allah. Every time you please your parents, you please Allah. How easy is that? Please your parents, you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, just doing what comes naturally, being good to your parents, will increase Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and blessing upon you. And the best way to show gratitude for your parents is to walk the path of Islam. That my parents gave me, left me with this. Because most of us here, all of us here, are born into Islam. It's not like we were born elsewhere and Allah guided us. Now there are some fiqhi rulings that are derived from this ayah, very interesting. I'm going to skip them right now. If we have time in the end, you remind me and we'll go over it. The next ayah, some children might say, what, and this is very real today, what if my parents are not good? They're evil, they're into drugs, they're abusive, they drink, all of that. Why should they be honored? So that's what Allah has mentioned in that second ayah. وَإِن جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ إِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even if they go to the extent of taking you out of out of my worship into shirk. He said, don't do that. But what should you do? وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not accept what is wrong from them in matters that lead to disobedience from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, he says, لَا تَعْتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ, that there is no obedience to the creation that involves disobedience of the Khaliq, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no such thing. But beyond that, وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. In this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sahib, be, give them companionship of goodness. Be there for them. Treat them, even if they're like that. Even if they're abusive, be kind to them. Sahiba means not calling once a year Mother's Day or Father's Day. Suhba means frequently visiting them, being with them. Sahibuhuma, both of them. Fid dunya, as long as they're alive. Because in the akhirah, if they're like that, you will be separated. Okay. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this dunya, you be good to them. Now, if we remember, in the early stages, this is a Makkan surah, as we said, that some of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced strong oppositions from their parents. They were tied, they were imprisoned, they were beaten, they were tortured. Leave Islam. At that stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, be good to your parents, even with that. Okay. And this is also illustrated in the kindness and virtue and respect in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his father Azar. Ibrahim alayhi salam is inviting him to the right thing, and Azar is saying that, get out of here, I'm going to stone you. And then he says salam to him and leaves, because he is being expelled. So even in that, we show them respect. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَلِي. But in terms of following, don't follow that wrong way they're taking you. Obey those who walk sabila of Allah, the path of Allah. So walk the path of those who have chosen to obey Allah. And what does this teach us? The importance of good companionship, good friends we choose. We should choose those who are walking the path through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we will easily be led astray. Ayah number 16. Then he says, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Oh my dear son, even if there is a deed which is the weight of a mustard seed, rai kadana, you know that little thing, that is in a boulder, sakhra, large rock in a boulder, anywhere in the universe or on the earth, yati biha, Allah will bring it out. Bring it out means in the dunya, he may choose to expose it, what you did or what you said, but certainly in the akhirah, it will be brought out for questioning and hisab. What is it saying? It is saying that nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is that small. This is the example that's given. So Luqman alayhi salam is building on that tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by teaching the attributes, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make him understand that there is the concept of accountability. You are accountable for what you say and you do. And that every action and word has consequences. There is a result to that. Good, and especially if the action is not good. So he's saying that even if it's a matter that seems insignificant to you, it's small. Now think about it. If there is a tiny little speck and it's in a rock, how can you and I bring it out of there and find it? Reflect on this example. Suppose there's a huge rock the size of just this room, and there is this grain, something as small as that. How can you bring it out? You split it in two, it may not be seen. Split it. you have to pulverize and make it into a powder that is smaller than that grain, then only it will. So how difficult it is for us. Yet for Allah, it is all known. Because Allah knows whether we accept it or not, every action, every word, every relationship, every thought. The past, what was, the present, what is, the future, what will be, and the future that could have been but will never be. All of that is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is hidden. This is what you and I have to learn. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to reflect on this. And he says, anywhere in the universe, if it was, Allah knows it. Telling his son and telling us what is the power and precision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will make it known in this dunya and in the akhirah it will come out. So what should we do? What do we learn from this? That we should be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. What is called the state of ihsan, which means that you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. And since you can't see him, he sees you. It's in the terms of the sawwuf of tazkiyah, it is called muraqabah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-raqib. One of his names is ar-raqib, means ever watchful. So muraqabah is in the process of tazkiyah of nafs, is that it's critical that we always remain in an inner state of awareness of ourselves, not just of our actions. What am I doing? What I'm saying? But what kind of thoughts are in my heart? Monitoring my heart. What thoughts enter? What is entertained? What is rejected? And then what emanates of actions and words as a result of what is going on, the conversations inside my heart. Allah is watching. I need to be watchful. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullah alayhi said, the meaning of which is, stand at the gate of your heart with the sword of Tawheed. Don't let anything enter your heart that Allah would not be pleased. So sword of Tawheed excises, demolishes anything that from entering your heart. So there is nothing we can hide. There is no place to hide. There's no place to go except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All secrets will be divulged on the day of judgment. So since Allah is watching us, we have to be constantly, it should give us the strength to be in a muraqabah of ourselves. We're frequently watching what others are doing. We should be watching inwards. What am I doing? What am I thinking? All of those things. Okay. What is giving me pleasure? Is it okay with Allah? What is distasteful for me? Is it okay with Allah? Or vice versa. And yet Allah is al-latif, which means subtle and delicate and refined and kind, because Allah does, or even though he's watching us do things, he does not immediately take us to account. He doesn't make it known that he knows. It's almost like he's as if he didn't see it, giving us chance to fix ourselves, to repent, to do tawbah. But he is al-khabir, all informed. He knows, yet he doesn't immediately respond to our deeds. He gives us time. So this way, Luqman alayhi salam is teaching the might and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his knowledge of the past, present and future, and that he has absolute power. Then he says to him, Ya bunayya aqim as-salata wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak inna dhalika min 'azmi al-umur. Again, ya bunayya, oh my dear son, aqim as-salah, establish salah. Finally, after all of this comes this. If you don't know Allah, how can you establish salah? If you don't know what your parents are teaching and being grateful, how can you listen to, okay, do salah? The moment the parent goes, if it's on the force of a stick, salah is gone. The moment a person moves out to the dorm in the university, the five times salah is gone. Okay, because it was the power of the parent. So, first thing, know Allah, then he says, after that faith is that iman in the etiquette of Allah has been embedded in the heart of the child, he says, do four things. He says, establish salah, enjoin good, forbid evil, and be patient. So four things are in this ayah. So let's go over those, because these are fundamental actions without which you really cannot be a Muslim. Okay? And you cannot serve on this earth as the Khalifa of Allah, as we were created. Okay? So each of this reflects a character trait, character, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with people. And this is therefore a proof of our faith within society and our responsibility in society, and sort of a modus operandi, how we should be operating in the social interactions with people. So the first of these, as we say, Ya Bunayya Aqim As-Salah. What is the meaning of establishing salah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Luqman alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala else, everywhere else, doesn't say do salah. Establishing salah, what is the difference? Establishing salah is to have constancy and consistency in salah, so that our life revolves around the five salawat rather than fitting in salawat whenever I have a time, whenever I don't have. And not that other way around. So establishing salah in the masjid, that's a duty. Establishing salah in our home is a duty. Doing salah in a jama'ah is a duty. Having khushu', concentration, devotion, dedication is part of establishing focus, and quality salah is part of establishing salah. It's not just that we haphazardly fulfill the salah done, okay? Like it was a burden to be taken off, now, you know, we're good. You know, we frequently say, you know, namaz sinni, but let's just finish with salah, then we can sit and relax. As opposed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, arahna biha ya Bilal, O Bilal, give us rest and relaxation. How? Arahna biha means by calling adhan. So we may find rest in salah, okay? Not outside of salah. So every prophet made dua for establishing salah in their progeny. رَبِّ جَلْنِي مُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Wallah, make us those who establish salah, and from my progeny, father of our children, not just one generation, generation after generation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا, enjoin salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, أَهْلَكَ, with your family, establish salah on your family and be patient in offering them yourself. So as parents, all parents should teach their children not just how to pray, but why we pray and its importance. The word salah has the same root as sila. Sila means not your sila. Sila means to connect. Okay? By salah, we connect with Allah. Okay? So just remember that salah should be a connection. We are in a mi'raj, an ascension to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the salah is the most important proof of our faith, of our Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the effect that between us and kufr is salah. Because that is how you identify who is a Muslim. If salah is established in a person's life, it gives them awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day. Gives them awareness of what is right and wrong. What awareness of what is justice, what is injustice. So standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah gives us strength to stand up in front of others, to enjoin good and forbid evil, which is what comes next. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Luqman alayhi salam's next part of his advice is, وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَانِ الْمُنْكَرِ, enjoining good and forbidding evil. If you call people towards goodness, first thing is we have to show them the right alternatives, right things to do. Before we say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Okay. Many times we teach our children only prohibition. Don't touch this, don't do this, don't do this. You can't do this, you can. What can I do? So before you go to that, everywhere in the Quran, Amr bil Maruf, showing the right things to do, the good things to do, is mentioned first. Then comes prohibitions. Stop them. So if you see something, it doesn't mean if you see something wrong being done, you shouldn't stop it if you can, with your hand or with your tongue or at least in your heart, as we are told. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is a responsibility on every believer. It's a responsibility of the rulers, it's a responsibility of the scholars, the common people, the men and women, to act according to their ability. Now, when you do that, frequently you are going to meet with difficulty and opposition and sometimes abuse, and people say, who are you? Who do you think you are? You're telling me what to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasbir ala ma asabak. If you face those difficulties and challenges, then have patience. Be patient. Don't fight with them. Endure patiently on whatever befalls you. Okay? And he says, then he praises, he says, inna dhalika min azmi al-umur. And if you have that patience, when people are challenging you, yet you are telling the right thing, then this is something that is a great resolve and something to aspire for. Azmi al-umur. To have patience and firm resolve to continue. Don't give up, no matter what befalls you. This is also in establishing salah. In salah, if there's difficulty, you still got to do it. The sahaba prayed on the battlefields. The enemy was there. They had to have half of them stand with weapons while half of them prayed. One rakah. Then they would stand up. The second one would join half in the, salatul khawf. When we are sick, we are praying. When you are bedridden, we are praying. Was sabr, endurance. Similarly, when we are enjoining good and forbidding evil, you may irritate people. But that's your test. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of your resolve, and it's a proof of your faith. And as we said, enjoining good comes first, and then comes the forbidding of evil. And this Azm al-Umur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this was a character of the greatest of the Anbiya and Rusul. He says, wasbir kama sabra ulul azm min ar-rusul. So have patience like those ulul azm, the five prophets. Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and sallallahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. Ulul azm. Firm resolve no matter what happens. So this is their character, and they all established prayers, and they all forbade evil, they all enjoined good. So these four qualities which are in this ayah, salah, amr bil maruf, nahy anil munkar, and sabr, are all the character traits of the greatest of anbiya. Okay, subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us some of that, a flavor of that at least. So Luqman alayhi salam advises son to pray perfectly and to do all of these duties. And remembering Allah and reflecting on His greatness always helps us in being patient. And patience is the key to eternal paradise. No one has been given anything better than sabr. And sabr translates as patience, perseverance, endurance beyond other people. In a hadith that's well known, muttafiqun alayh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرُ اللَّهُ وَمَا أُعْتِيَ أَحَدٌ أَطَاءً خَيْرًا وَأَوْسَعَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ. Whoever struggles to be patient, يُصَبِّرُهُ اللَّهُ. Allah will give him patience. You have to strive. وَمَا أُعْتِيَ أَحَدٌ. And there is, nobody's been given something that is khair, better than and more comprehensive other than sabr. So sabr, this is what the status of sabr is. So we stress two things today, shukr and sabr. And you know something? Shukr and sabr are two sides, opposite sides of the same coin. And just imagine if you are facing a situation where you are called for sabr. You know, how can I have sabr? Just flip the coin over towards shukr. Just think of all of Allah's blessings. Then you will become shakir and it will make you easier to have sabr. Same coin. That gratefulness, that burst of gratitude will help your sabr. Come to the last two ayahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records from Luqman alayhi salam, وَلَا تُسَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَقُورٍ. And he says, don't turn your cheek in arrogance, in contempt. Means don't turn away from people. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. And don't strut on the earth like you are something special. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَقُورٍ. Allah, indeed Allah does not love, لا يحب every مختال, one who is arrogant, فخور, filled with pride. So, Luqman alayhi salam now comes to character traits. And that, in that, the first advice he gives is avoid arrogance and be humble and modest. He chooses this because this one character trait has a lot of bad consequences that come out of it. Okay, so he singles out kibr, or arrogance, because the dangers of feeling arrogant or acting in the way is highlighted in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "La yadkhulu al-jannata man kana fi qalbi mithqalu dharratin min kibr." There is no entry for a person into Jannah, no entry, if he has a grain of kibr, arrogance in him. There is no entry. This is so serious. So some of the companions said to him, Ya Rasulullah, when they heard this, but what about a person, Inna rajula yuhibbu an yakuna thawbahu hasana wa na'luhu, somebody who likes to wear good clothes and good shoes. What about that? Means now they're concerned. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds by saying, Inna Allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. This is not kibr. He says, Al kibru batarul haqqi wa ghamtun nas. You want to know what arrogance is? Is to ridicule and reject the truth, which is the tawheed and any other truth, and to despise people. That is what kibr is. Not that you like a good ride and good clothes and, you know, all of that. Allah has bestowed on you in moderation. Allah loves to see that, His blessings on His servant. So this is a stern warning, because kibr prevents entry into paradise. So it is no wonder that the wise Luqman alayhi salam emphasizes humility. And this should be reflected in all aspects of our life, even in our body language. So he says, don't turn your cheek. He doesn't say, you know, any. He said, don't turn your cheek. Frowning, turning away, that I am better. Looking down at people, you know, that puffed up chest. Don't allow an iota of arrogance to seep into your hearts. Why? Because if we remember that all glory, all majesty, all great, all pride belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is al-mutakabbir. He is al-kabir, al-muta'al. So don't seek glory and honor, except that which Allah has bestowed on you. And for what He has bestowed on you, you should be humble. Because whatever khair of any gift that Allah has given you is a test from Him. So don't act as if you are better than anyone else. Humility, tawadu, guides to paradise, just as its opposite, kibr, leads to Jahannam. And again, humility, that tawadu, is humbleness, is a product of gratitude, because you've recognized, when you show gratitude, you've recognized where credit is due, so you don't take it on yourself, that, oh, I did this. So that makes us humble. And we have examples of kibr in shaitan. His lack of humility caused him to be not only expelled from paradise, but condemned him and his follower to Jahannam forever. And we have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation. If anybody had a right to be proud and arrogant, it would be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is he? The most humble. Standing for hours at night in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of gratitude. Shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His feet are swelling up. He is sitting with the slaves and eating with them. No parrot. He is entering as a conqueror in Mecca after all of that with an army of 100,000. And what is his posture? He is described as his head is down on the back of his camel like this. He's entering Mecca as the ruler. Imagine, you know, Alexander the Great and Akbar and whoever else you want entering, you know, when they conquered. Here is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entering Mecca, the conquest of the house of the Baytullah, and his head is down, touching the back of his camel in humility. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. And don't walk with insolence through the land as a sign of arrogance. Maraha is to consider yourself more worthy, that I am privileged, I have a special privilege, no matter where I am. On the road, belongs to me. In I go in a gathering, the best seat is mine. You know, I should be in the center. This is Maraha. Remember what was the end of Qarun. Qarun was the one who was known for his arrogance and his wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split the earth and, you know, sinkhole. Everything, him and his wealth, was absorbed in there. So Luqman alayhi salam wanted to emphasize the importance of humility in all aspects. He said, in your body language, in the way you walk, because just remember that all people are equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except the people who have faith and who have piety, righteousness, birr. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَقُورٍ. Indeed, Allah does not love those who are arrogant and boastful. And when Allah doesn't love you, that means you are cut off from His mercy and His love. And maraha, as we said, is to walk, as we said, you know, strutting is the word we use today. You know? Just remember, you see the walk of some of the leaders of the world, of the free world, and you see some of their walks, some of the past presidents and some of the other dictators. Mukhtal comes from, also from khayal, means your imagination. You think you are someone great. Okay. Fakhur, as fakhr, the extreme fakhr, means the one with extreme pride. Then the last ayah, waqsid fi mashy, be moderate in your walking, in your pace. What kind of footprints are we going to leave behind? There's a Native American proverb which tells us we will be known by the tracks we leave. We will all leave and people will remember you. What will they remember you for? That's the most important thing. Okay. So Luqman alayhi salam is advising his son, walk gently on this earth with care and be careful. Patient, humility, that should be our default demeanor. And a believer is known by his humility, his gentleness and mercy in his behavior to everything, to animals, to everyone else. And when it says, be moderate and regulate your steps, it also includes, the Mufassirun have said, that you do not go to places that cross the lines of Allah's boundaries. You don't accompany sinners and disobedient people because they will lead you that way. And there is a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that the feet commit zina, adultery, the feet. How can feet commit zina? If they carry you to a place where zina is facilitated. وَعُضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. And lower your voice. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. The most detestable, the ugliest of sounds is the sound of a donkey brain. This is what he says. So this is the final part of his advice. He says, lower your voice. Don't be loud and harsh, he says, because that makes you like a donkey. Shouting does not win hearts. It offends people and it alienates people. Even in ibadah, in our worship, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't raise your voice so loud, because you're not calling on one who is deaf. You're calling on one who knows. If you speak softly, he knows what's in your heart before it comes to your tongue, and he knows even before what has not come in your heart. So why are you raising your voice? So moderation even in that. And this ayah includes, when it says lower your voice, that there is a prohibition for bad words, for sinful talk, for excessive talk. Don't be like a jackass, the donkey. In every gathering, I'm the only one who has to be heard. My word. So guard your tongue, because silence never hurt anyone. Luqman alayhi salam's, one of his wisdom is, he says, there is a special event that happened. He says, As-samtu hikmun wa qalilun fa'ilun. As-samt, silence, is wisdom, but very few follow this. In another version, he says, As-samtu hukmun is an order, is a command, but very few follow it. Because silence is gold, as it said. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is known to have spent long periods of silence, even in company. Because, and he's taught us that the consequence of the tongue, more people will enter Jahannam because of their tongue than anything else. And that includes ghiba, which is backbiting, namima, carrying tales, buhtan, making up stories, wrong things. Even arguing, if you're on the right, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about arguing. It's called mirah. That if you argue with people because you are right, is there a person who does not argue, even when he is right, I will guarantee him a place in paradise. Okay. So, be careful with all your speeches. Lower your voice, because you are patient, you watch your tone, you don't stomp around, you don't lose it, you don't argue. And as we know, donkeys are culturally the signs of what? Stupidity, which is the opposite of wisdom. We are seeking wisdom, not the opposite. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the himar, the donkey, elsewhere in Surah Jumu'ah. He's saying they are like a donkey carrying books, scriptures. So the external sign of lack of wisdom is to raise your voice. It means you're like a donkey who's carrying the knowledge, but it has not penetrated his heart. So that's the end of that. And in a few minutes, let's summarize what Luqman alayhi salam said. There is a critical sequence of advice, beginning with the most important lesson, belief in one God. He makes it clear that joining in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only unforgivable sin. Next, he lays the foundation of faith, that who is Allah and what is accountability, and then reminds him of the essential parts of the behavior of salah, what we must try and strive for, and what we should shun, such as pride and arrogance. And again, as we said before, he advises his son endearingly, Ya Bunayya, and given the magnitude and importance of the content that he wants, he chooses to address him with love in an intimate conversation when they're alone. And that all of this advice may not have been given at one time. It's not like that he gave one lecture with all of this. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has compiled for us. It may have been given over a period of time, depending on the maturity of the child. So at every stage, we do that, because this is an ongoing process, not a one and done thing. Okay, it's not AstraZeneca vaccine. So this teaches us as parents that the messages to be delivered is important, but how and when to deliver it is equally important, perhaps more critical. And then part of the nurturing of the child is this education. And part of that education is effective communication. How do we communicate? And that communication is important for everything. With our spouses, with our friends, the communication is critical. A beautiful communication leads to beautiful relationships. So to give, we cannot give what we don't have. To give something to our children, we need to know. If I don't have the knowledge, I can't give. Okay, you can't give what you don't have. So the mothers and fathers need to learn. And they have to practice what they learn, because children hear with their eyes what they see their parents doing. And here we have a remarkable father figure of Luqman alayhi salam. And Luqman alayhi salam did not become Luqman alayhi salam in one day. Just remember, Luqman alayhi salam was a child himself. And somebody taught him. And gradually he accumulated that and became, by Allah's grace and gift, Luqman, the hikmah of Luqman. So in these times, in our current times, you know, morals are twisted. The Islamic foundations are questioned. Wrong is made into right and vice versa. So people are searching for wisdom. And they may not be sages and awliya to guide our young children. Therefore, the Quran and the Sunnah and the power of these is of having an honest conversation between parent and child becomes even more critically important. Where else are they going to learn? Are they going to learn from the internet? So, my dear brothers and sisters, spend quality time with your children in the absence of any devices, computers, screens, one-on-one. And look after their moral and spiritual needs and ensure their future in the dunya and the akhirah. Have taqwa within yourself by example. And even if you die young, Allah will protect your children. The proof of that is in Surah Kahf, that Allah sends Khidr alayhi salam and one of the ulul azm, Musa alayhi salam, travel all the way to a village to build a wall. They work and they are hungry and they are given no food. Why is the wall built? Because there is a treasure under that that belongs to two orphans whose parents were people who were righteous. They are gone. Allah protected them. Not only protect, He sent two people, Musa alayhi salam, to protect their treasure. So if you are righteous, Allah will protect your treasure, which is your children. Be close to your children and always look for teaching moments to advise the right time. Do not yell. Do not ridicule. Do not abuse. Do not punish. Do not pick on the mistakes of the children. Show them the right things to do gently as much as possible. Sometimes you may have to reprimand with wisdom. Teach them what is good first, what is a good righteous action. Show them good alternatives rather than saying don't, okay? And like Ibrahim alayhi salam and all Anbiya, make a lot of dua for your children and your progeny, because ultimately it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brings about the change in khair. And again, Luqman alayhi salam has taught us how to set priorities, what is to be taught first, when and in what order, starting with Tawheed, knowing Allah, then Salah, and everything else comes after that. Teaching them the consequences of actions, that Allah is always watchful. Teaching them, establishing Salah in our lives and in the lives of our children, the importance of family bonding and respect for our parents. We show respect for our parents, our children see that, and they will show respect for. If we show the opposite, and impatience and all of that, our children will be treated the same way. So there is a difference between just knowing and applying it, which brings in hikmah. And gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to all people, especially our parents. We have a duty to enjoin good and forbid evil. In our akhlaq, we should have gratitude, patience, perseverance all the times, and humility, moderation, guarding our tongue. And finally, we should appreciate the importance of helping our children to develop critical minds in their upbringing so that they can cultivate and strengthen iman and obedience in them through their own personal convictions. Okay? Do not try to forcefully drill into them, this is what it is, this is what you have to do, absolute obedience, I am the authority, this is what our tradition says. Explain to them, teach them in the right way. If they question, let them question, because it's through questioning they will gain conviction, because you want to convince them so that when you are not there, they will follow. The angels question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you're going to send a Khalifa on earth, he'll do this, this, this. Uzair alayhi salam questioned Allah, this city's been demolished, how will you bring it? Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, how do you bring back? Questioning. Let them question. Explain if you have the answer, otherwise find people who might be able to give them the answer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. Tell them, this is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. I call towards Allah subhanahu ala basiratin, with wisdom and foresight, and explain things. Okay? Not just, this is how it is. And this is especially for the youth, because remember in the beginning of the surah, what did we say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second ayah, he says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَحْوَ الْحَدِيثِ. That there are mankind who purchase or buy into all of that wrong messages and the entertainment industry, because that's what the entertainment industry, the music industry, the movie industry, the everything is focused on taking the youth at that stage, right? So they are trying to grab your children. Luqman alayhi salam is trying to save your children. So remember that the youth need to be addressed by us, by parents, by example. Otherwise, there are plenty of scavengers ready to take them apart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy parents, make us worthy parents that Allah is pleased with, who leave behind a legacy of good children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us good children who are respectful and honorable, who honor their parents and show gratitude to them and follow in their paths. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings and what we should have done and we haven't done, and give us the opportunity to do that which we have not done, and make amends for our mistakes. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.